Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Brian Lehrer. This is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Friday, April 15th. The new inflation number out last week showed consumer prices jumped by more than 8% compared to March of last year. That's the biggest year-to-year increase for any month in about 40 years. And that's on top of prices rising almost that fast in the several months before, as all of you probably know. So this is hitting people hard. And it's regressive in that wealthier people can absorb the price increases and not give up important things more than less wealthy people, obviously. And it's politically daunting for the Democrats because they're the party in power. So many people will tend to blame or credit them for whatever's going on. Here's Republican Senator Marco Rubio of Florida trying to make political hay out of that on YouTube recently.
Inflation's out of control. People know it. Even if you got a raise, it got wiped out by inflation. If you have a small business, you have to raise prices. That means you're losing customers. It threatens to wipe you out. That's what's happening in the real world. And remember, Joe Biden said we didn't have inflation. Then they said this was transitory and it was going to pass. And now it continues to linger. It continues to hurt people. And they don't do anything about it. Instead, they want to focus on all kinds of radical, left-wing, crazy, woke stuff they want to fight over. They caused the inflation and they're ignoring it.
Senator Marco Rubio with his spin. The Democrats, of course, do not actually say they've caused inflation or are ignoring it. Here's President Biden speaking on Tuesday.
I'm doing everything within my power by executive orders to bring down the price and address the Putin price hike. In fact, we've already made progress since March inflation data was collected. Your family budget, your ability to fill up your tank, none of it should hinge on whether a dictator declares war and commits genocide and half a world away.
So he called it the Putin price hike. So let's drill down and see what's really going on and what different policies against inflation Democrats and Republicans are really for and some of the pros and cons of each. With me now is New York Times columnist, CUNY economics professor, and Nobel Prize in economics winner, Paul Krugman, who wrote a column the other day called Inflation is About to Come Down. But don't get too excited. Dr. Krugman, we're always excited to have you on the show. Welcome back to WNYC.
Good to be on again.
So, Dr. Krugman, let's start with the good news. You wrote the Consumer Price Index at 8.5% inflation. That number is based probably on missing a downward turn that began in late March. So can you describe that downward turn as you see it and why you think it's happening?
So there are a couple of components. One is that, you know, fully half of the inflation in March was gasoline prices. And gas prices, they've come down a bit since mid-March. And, you know, the official number is really more or less is the average price over the course of a month. So the fact that prices have been coming down since sometime in March is not showing up yet in the official data. The other things that have been contributing to inflation, things like disruption of supply chains and high shipping costs are also, you know, all of these things are still very high by historical standards, but all kind of trending down. And just about every private forecaster that I follow thinks that we are going to be seeing inflation coming down, that we probably have hit the peak, at least in terms of the annual inflation rate, that we're already looking in the rearview mirror at these numbers.
You wrote about something called the bullwhip effect and why it's causing oversupply now in many industries, which should bring down prices. You want to define the bullwhip effect for our listeners?
So, and I think that it's like, you know, Indiana Jones flicks his wrist and the tip of his whip moves much faster than his wrist does. When there is a shortage, particularly this is true for things like shipping, supply chains, trucking, when there's a shortage, people rush to buy for fear that they may not be able to get it. Retailers stock up to try and meet that demand. Wholesale distributors stock up even more to be able to service the retailers. And so there's this surge of demand for stuff, and suddenly there are no containers to be had for shipping things. At a certain point, people find that they've overshot, that there are, you know, inventories at retailers are pretty high right now. They're actually above normal levels. People are not actually short of toilet paper at this point. And it all goes into reverse. Consumers who have actually sort of bought about as much stuff as their house can hold scale back. The retailers then scale back their orders, and it all works its way back down the chain. And even as we are talking about the high cost of trucking, people in the trucking industry are warning that there's a trucking recession developing. So all of those things are probably about, we're about to see the flip side. Just as some of the inflation on the way up was the result of overreaction, some of the disinflation is probably going to be exaggerated because the bullwhip has now flicked back.
But the rest of your headline and your column says, but don't get too excited. So what's the don't get too excited part?
I hate to say this, being I'm very much a full employment guy, but it does look like the U.S. economy is overheated. There do appear to be more job openings than we can actually fill. Wages, we want wages rising fast. At the moment, wages seem to be rising at something like a 6% annual rate, and even with productivity growth and even with some rise in the labor share of income, that still is consistent with an inflation rate of more like 4% than the kind of 2% that we've come to accept as normal. So the even once these things, these transitory stuff, the gas prices, the supply chain snarls, even once those things go away, we're still going to be left with uncomfortably high inflation unless the economy gets a little softer. It doesn't have to mean a recession, but it probably does have to mean that that the unemployment rate goes up a bit, and that we're just, you know, this kind of seller's market for labor is, you know, that's a good thing, but it's at the moment too much of a good thing.
Now let's get to the blame parts of this. Republicans blame Democrats. You heard the Marco Rubio clip. Democrats blame the two P's, Putin and the pandemic. And we'll get to the policy parts. But first, in fairness, this was a big issue before we started the new embargoes on Russia, right?
Well, yeah. So there was, you know, you had a pandemic that shut down a large part of the world economy. And then as stuff started to reopen, it did so in a very, very skewed way. You know, there was a period there when people were afraid to go out to restaurants, when people were afraid to go to gyms, and so they bought other stuff instead. And this, all of that was bound to have a lot of disruptive and inflationary effect regardless. A lot of people in the administration, I think quite rightly, are comparing it to the situation in 1946, when there was, in fact, as the economy was rather awkwardly transitioning back to a peacetime economy, there were a lot of disruptions and, in fact, inflation running at rates kind of like what we're seeing now. So that's a big deal. And, of course, and oil prices, oil prices are up a lot from their pandemic lows because the world economy is recovering and people are using more oil. So, yes, there's a lot of this is the global environment. And then, of course, there's the Putin shock on top of that. And it is worth remembering that inflation is higher in the U.S. than in most other advanced economies, but not by a lot. The euro area inflation over the past year was 7.5%, right? Ours was 8.5.
And are they doing stimulus like the United States?
Nothing, not on remotely the same scale. So, and by the way, that stimulus, you know, the Biden spending, that was a year ago. At how long do you keep on blaming everything on policies that are rapidly receding in the rearview mirror? So, yes, the U.S., we've run our economy hotter than the rest of the world, which has its good side as well as its bad. And we're having slightly higher inflation, but by any reckoning I can do, at least 80% of the inflation we're seeing is global forces that have nothing whatsoever to do with U.S. policy.
Interesting. Because another thing that Republicans blame, well, we touched on it, is too much stimulus in the economy, like the last big round of money that got pumped into the economy in various ways once Biden was in office, even though pandemic unemployment was already going down. Child tax credit, policies of the Fed, other things, stimulus checks per se. So you're saying that's maybe 10% of the inflation, something like that?
Maybe not. Possibly even less than that. I mean, that was not a stimulus bill. It was a economic relief bill. A lot of it was about reducing child poverty, and a lot of the money actually, so far, hasn't even been spent. A lot of it was aid to state and local governments, which is very gradually showing up in their budgets, but is not really pushing the economy. But It certainly was not. If you just take the raw number and say, look at all of that money, surely that must be responsible for inflation. It doesn't actually parse out once you start to look at the details. But if we could do it over again, I think that we could have done with less state and local aid. We probably, unfortunately, the least justifiable piece of the thing, which was the $1,400 checks, was also the most popular thing in it. So, but I think at some point you need to stop blaming everything on that spending bill from early 2021 and start talking about, first of all, most important is, at least in terms of economic policy, is not, who's to blame, but what do we do now?
In the Marco Rubio clip we played, he said Democrats aren't doing anything about inflation because they'd rather focus on woke social issues. Never mind, Dr. Krugman, that Republicans are delighting in focusing on unwoke social issues like banning abortion everywhere and prosecuting parents who support their transgender children. That's a lot of what we'll be hearing in these midterm elections. But what are the Democrats doing about inflation since they're in power? And then we'll get into what the Republicans are proposing to do about it if they get into power.
Okay, so mostly what the Democrats are doing is getting out of the way of the Federal Reserve. This is mostly, at this point, an issue of policy. The Fed is this peculiar institution which is part of the government, but not exactly part of the government, has a lot of autonomy. And it's pretty much up to the Fed to cool things down to the point where we get back to an acceptable rate of inflation. And the Biden administration is not leaning. Trump was constantly jawboning the Fed, demanding that it cut interest rates, whatever. And the Biden administration is letting the Fed do its job. There are other things you can do, but are pretty much at the margin. So you can try to I think you should be doing a little bit of jawboning of companies that are doing excessive price increases, but that's going to be very much something that's at the margin. You can try to do things to encourage supply chains to get unraveled, step in where there appear to be dysfunctional local port agencies that are not keeping things moving. But mostly this is just about, let Jay Powell and Lil Brainard at the Fed do what the Fed's supposed to do, which is its mandate is to full employment plus price stability. And we've got the full employment. They now need to work on the price stability.
The Republicans are against the Build Back Better bill, which the Democrats still could get some version of through if they get Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema on board. That's supposed to be a lot of social spending toward child care and elder care and against climate change. Do you have a view on how inflationary that would be at any size?
Yeah, they basically zilch. Build Back Better. First of all, every version has been more or less paid for with additional revenue. So it's not deficit spending. And secondly, it's a long-term program. We're talking about, you can take a look at a number, let's say $1 trillion. I don't know what it will be in it. That may sound like a lot of money, but that's a decade of spending in a $24 trillion economy. It's really, it could make a pretty big difference actually in reducing inflation over the longer term, because we would be improving our transportation network, our infrastructure. But in terms of the actual demand impact, Build Back Better is just it's rounding error on any of this stuff. And one of the really unfortunate things about the way the narrative has developed is that people said, oh, you spent $2 trillion and that caused inflation. How can you propose spending another $1 trillion? But this extra trillion would be not, spending $2 trillion in 1 year versus spending $1 trillion over 10 years are just not comparable actions.
Here's a caller with a suggestion to help tamp down inflation and even out the labor market. Lou on Staten Island. You're on WNYC. Hi, Lou. I don't think we've ever said Staten Island so much in one segment with Paul Krugman. Hi, Lou.
Good morning, Brian. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to put this inflation, the rise of inflation on the Republicans, on the past administration reaction to the pandemic. Had they taken it seriously, if they had known what was coming and taking it seriously, they would have put measures into place to stop it in the first place. Because this pandemic hit the entire global chain, the supply chain. Everything that in this country comes from some places. Once the pandemic hit and they reacted to it so incompetently, telling us to drink tea in the morning, spray ourselves with chloride in the afternoon, if they had dealt with it positively, we wouldn't be in a problem. Now there is nothing coming. And then the next thing they did was the restricted immigration. Almost stop it. Usually in this economy, people coming from other countries are so desperate to start over, they would have filled these positions. The job that the little bond thing is too dangerous for them, or the wages are too low, these people would have taken and filled this position, and the supply chain would have continued. So I think they are the cause. The Biden administration is doing a pretty good job dealing with it. They are handling it the best they can. And I think they are managing it well. But they are the cause of it. The problem was there. They denied the existence of the problem. They had no solution to it. The leadership was totally incompetent. So they can't go around blaming the Democrats now for inflation. They are the cause of the inflation.
Lou, thank you for your call. Dr. Krugman, let's take the immigration piece of that. You know, the border, the southern border, is a rising issue for Biden. A lot of people coming across, it's in the top two or three things that they're doing on Fox News right now during the day. But it's real. There are a lot more people coming across the border than U.S. policy, even under Biden, wants there to be. But immigration, at least mathematically, is one solution to a labor shortage. So how do you see that?
Yeah, I mean, it's important to understand that no matter how much Fox News may be hyperventilating about people coming across the border, the overwhelming fact about U.S. immigration over these past 5 years is that it's way, way down. We've had far fewer immigrants coming to this country, legally or otherwise, than we used to. And that actually is a significant factor. When I talk about labor shortages, one of the puzzles is employment. Overall employment is still not back fully to pre-pandemic levels. How can it be that we have labor shortages given that? And one really important factor is that we have just not had anything like the number of working age, eager to work immigrants that we used to be getting. Combination of the pandemic, but also a hostile environment, has really cut back a really critical part of the U.S. labor force. So if you wanted to be able to keep us growing without inflationary risks, getting us back to bringing the world's most motivated, ambitious people to America to work would be a big contributing factor. Of course, that's going to go over, that's going to go over great on Fox News. But that is, immigration really is a significant, the reduction in immigration is a significant part of our problem.
So one more thing before you go. Last thing, because I said I would get back to the Amazon warehouse unionization vote, and you wrote a column about that the other day. But My question is big picture, because many unionization efforts at other Amazon locations and in other industries are still getting voted down. And I think overall, private sector unionization is continuing its 50-year decline. So how do you see the big picture?
Well, what it's going to take is a lot of mobilization. It's going to take a political forces that are really pro-union. It was interesting that there was a long delay before prominent Democrats celebrated that union victory on Staten Island, but they did eventually. And so if we could come back to something like the environment we had when America's union movement really became powerful, which was that basically the Democratic Party was strongly pro-union, then you might be amazed at what could happen, because companies like Amazon are perfect targets for unionization.
You mean it'll take a new set of laws or policies?
Well, even just not even necessarily laws, but actually how you enforce the laws. I mean, a lot of the deunionization of America came because during the Reagan era, the National Labor Relations Board fundamentally did not want to do its job. And if we can get back to a government that is even willing to enforce existing labor laws, that could make a big difference.
Paul Krugman, New York Times columnist, CUNY economics professor, Nobel Prize in economics winner. We've been talking mostly about his column from the other day called Inflation is About to Come Down, but don't get too excited. Dr. Krugman, we always appreciate it. Thank you very, very much.
Thanks for having me on.
Brian Lehrer, a Daily Politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.